In our recent Garmin Run 4 blog, I wrote about the pillars of well-being and how important integrating those pillars are in your lifestyle. And we wanted to share a little bit more about just how important they are at the moment and some things you can do to support them. So I'm joined by Dr. Juliet McGrattan to tell us a little bit more. Hello, Juliet.
Hello, Martin. Thanks for inviting me.
Like, give us a little bit of background about you and what you do before we start talking about important pillars of well-being.
Sure. So I spent, I think it was about 16 years working as a GP. And during that time, I became a runner and realized the power and the importance of exercise for good health. And I became really evangelical and passionate about it, especially running, and particularly running for women. My career kind of took a little turn, and I ended up writing about running for women and helping women to start to run themselves. So I'm now an author, and I work on a women's running network all around the world. It's called 261 Fearless. I think I can really, really appreciate the importance that exercise has to give you well-being in life. So I'm really delighted to talk about this topic today.
And how about, like, at the moment, you know, so I'm really aware of the importance of my own running, particularly now that it's not really about performance. So there's no performance orientated outcome for me. There are no races. I'm not sure when the next ones will be. So I've had to reframe my running around how it can help me in a more broader, more holistic way.
I think at the moment, as you say, especially it's an opportunity, isn't it? It's an opportunity to do things differently. It's an opportunity to reflect on what you've done so far and think about what running gives you, because it is much more, like you say, than times and distance and race medals, because it actually does give us a whole wealth of health benefits, both physically and mentally. And it's great fun and we enjoy it. And sometimes I think we can lose that sense if we do get very, very focused on goals and targets. We actually sometimes don't just run for running's sake, run to enjoy the countryside, run to listen to the birds, run to enjoy the weather, and just because of the way it makes us feel. So this is a real opportunity for us to kind of get back to the basics, I think.
Sometimes it's hard for runners. You know, I've worked in running for many years now and have seen, as you have, you know, runners across a spectrum of experiences and of aspirations and motivations. And sometimes it's hard for runners to truly recognize the importance of some of the different pillars of well-being. And in the blog, you know, I wrote about the importance of things like sleep and nutrition and stress or emotional regulation and lifestyle, feeling connected and social and community, those broader elements of well-being. And certainly for me at the moment, some of that isn't being juggled especially well all the time. It's quite hard sometimes.
I think the whole of this topic really is all about balance, and it's finding a balance between the way you live your life and finding a balance in your running goals and your performance and your sleep and your nutrition and your lifestyle, so that everything falls into a happy kind of balance. And like any kind of balance, it's so easy for it to tip one way or the other and just to go a little bit off. And when that does happen, then it's kind of a spiral, and it can be a spiral downwards rather than a spiral upwards. So I think those pillars that you mentioned are really important, but we have to try to keep a balance in each one of them to then have a good outcome in our running.
Is it ever possible to have, like, I think you said, a happy balance? You know, is that, I always feel like at some point those pillars are creaking. You know, is it possible to maintain, particularly at the minute when there are a number of stresses, perhaps with children home or with uncertainty, you know, around futures and financial stability and the importance of running? But, you know, some of those pillars are shaky sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is just one big roller coaster, isn't it? And trying to do everything well all the time sometimes gives you its own pressure. So sometimes it's a case of maybe just looking at one of them and working on that for a little while and maybe creating a new habit in that, so that becomes normal. And then maybe taking another step and looking at another one of them, rather than necessarily trying to do a whole life overhaul and addressing everything all at once. And at the moment, like you say, when there is so much stress and pressure on us. Even if we can just address one of those little things, it might just help to give us a better overall well-being.
So let's talk about sleep for a minute then, you know, because like I didn't sleep that well last night. You know, I went to bed late and I was up earlier than I wanted to be, you know. So just why is sleep important? Why is it important at the moment? What can I do to recognize when it's not quite what I want it to be or it should be?
Well, I'm with you on not having a good night. I got awoken by a child with a bad dream at 4 and I don't think I went back to sleep. But, you know, and we know ourselves how horrible it is when you're sleep deprived, because sleep deprivation really does have a knock-on effect to how you feel the next day. And you can get away with one night of not sleeping well. You know, who sleeps well the night before they have a big race? None of us, but we can still perform really well. That one day doesn't matter. But I think it's when you build up a sleep debt, and over time, you're having a long-term lack of sleep, that's when it can start to really have an effect on our body. Because, I mean, sleep, it's a restorative process, you know. It's different from being still and awake. You know, when we sleep, we have these kind of cycles of deeper sleep when our body really does start to repair itself. Our heart rate drops, our blood pressure drops, our muscles relax, they fill with more blood, and they repair and sort of restore themselves. So we need quality over quantity, but we do need a kind of a regular amount of sleep, and we're all different as to how much we need. There's no magic number, you know. Somewhere between 7 and 9 hours is said to be perfect for adults, but there are many people who get away with much less, and many people who say that they need much more.
How do I know how much I need?
It's purely how you feel. If you need caffeine to get through the next day because your energy levels are really flagging, that's a sign that maybe you need more sleep. If you feel drowsy when you're driving, that's a really good sign that, well, you know, you shouldn't. That's a time when you should be alert and should be well, if you're noticing that. If you're getting recurrently ill, sometimes that can be a sign that you're not getting enough sleep, because we know that that long-term sleep deprivation can sometimes reduce our immune system a little bit. And that's obviously really important at the moment. So when you feel rested, you know that you feel, you know that you feel rested. And having a little bit of kind of sleep in the bank, if you like, sees us through those nights, odd one or two here and there, where we just can't get enough.
And I like the term sleep debt, because, you know, I do track my sleep so that I understand, you know, how much of that deep sleep I'm getting. And particularly, I tend to look at my own sleep in a 7-day pattern. And I use a 7-day debt pattern, and I think, well, if I can keep it under control across a week, and I can do that week on week, then I think I'm maintaining some kind of balance with my sleep and my lifestyle. But of course, when one of those pillars wobbles a little bit, I think it's manageable. You know, you can you can address that by perhaps tracking sleep, and then you know, putting something in place, an action in place to help promote better sleep. But sometimes they just all feel a little bit out of kilter. You know, how do you know which to prioritize?
I mean, I think what you mentioned there about looking at things over a longer period is really good, because none of us are perfect. We're all just doing the best we can. And if you can look at things over the course of a week, or even over the course of a month when it comes to those pillars, then that is actually sometimes a much more useful and practical and realistic way of looking at things. And I think generally we sort of have this kind of, you know, our body, it wants us to do well. It wants us to survive. It wants us to feel good. So a lot of the time we just have to listen to what it's telling us. And we often know which of those pillars are a little bit wobbly. Or sometimes if we're denying things, like we're denying maybe that we feel under stress or pressure, it takes somebody else to recognize our behavior, that we're not quite ourselves. So listening to our loved ones and people, our family, as to how we're actually behaving can sometimes give us good information as well.
I like to think I have a reasonable self-awareness of how I'm feeling around sleep and nutrition, but particularly when I'm under stress, that self-awareness goes down, you know, it goes down a little bit, and probably, you know, I neglect to listen closely enough to those things that you're talking about. You know, is there a way with your experience around sort of holistic well-being and it helping our running specifically, that, you know, I can keep checking in, like keep checking in with myself to stop me, to stop those things happening.
One good way to do it is actually reflecting and keeping a track of these things, whether you're using an app, whether you're using a sleep tracker, even just having a diary. And at the end of a day, making a smiley face or a mark out of 10 or something very, very simple scale. Nothing that's going to take too much time, because again, that just puts more pressure on, so that you can actually look for the trends in things. Because if you notice that you're having a couple of weeks when you've got a low mark or you've got an unhappy emoji face, then you can actually start to see patterns and you can start to notice the trends. And then you can sometimes act before things get too bad, particularly when you're talking about your mood falling, because we kind of go into survival mode and we keep going and we keep going, and we can get ourselves before we crash if we're keeping a very simple diary or using an app or a tracker to look at our overall well-being, because physical and mental all has a play in this.
I also mentioned in the blog, you know, the importance of nutrition and lifestyle. Of course, both of those things are disrupted in a way at the moment. You know, accessibility to perhaps nutrition and lifestyle factors are limited and different. You know, I certainly at the moment I'm not sure if this is right, but I'm opening my fridge and I'm, you know, doing that kind of blank stare into the fridge. I'm at home a lot more than I would be normally. I'm not grocery shopping in the way that I would normally, or in the places that we would, or with the frequency. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. You know, so I'm kind of blankly looking into the fridge at like what's not there. You know, but nutrition is such an important pillar of overall well-being.
No, I agree. And I mean, when you think about the basics of it, what is it doing? Nutrition is giving our body the building blocks that it needs to function, to repair itself. As we talked about, when we're sleeping, our body's repairing itself. It needs the protein, it needs the amino acids, it needs all those building blocks to be able to do that. And we can't expect our bodies to function well, especially high performance, if we're adding the extra stress on the body, if you like, of running, if we don't have those basic building blocks. So I don't think it has to be complicated. I don't think it has to involve an awful lot of time. It's just trying to find ways to get those building blocks in the easiest form that you can, you know, whether and simple, plain, fresh food is the best way to do that when you can get it, which sometimes it can be a little bit tricky at the moment. But I think it doesn't have to be a complex thing. It's actually wanting to nourish your body so that it can then do the best for you.
And there are, I agree. And you know, effectively though, in there, that's quite a complex statement, isn't it? Because like wanting to nourish your body in reality for some people is quite difficult to understand and to effectively action every day. So, you know, often in running, you know, the thing I try and talk about with running and nutrition is the variability of personal choice and the importance of establishing what works, but also like the importance of establishing a healthy relationship with the food that you're going to eat first and foremost, you know, enjoying the running that we do, enjoying the exercise we do, and at the same time, enjoying the food we eat.
I completely agree with you. And I think, and this might be the case for many runners, but I think some people start running in order to lose weight. But actually, when they discover running and the benefits it gives them, that's not often the reason they carry on. The reason they carry on is because of the way it makes them feel and the particularly the mental sort of health benefits it gives them. And any kind of weight maintenance or control is almost like a side effect. So really, they are kind of two separate things. We're eating for life. And it's great if we can then get a really, really good diet, which helps our body to perform well, but we're not eating to run or running to eat, if you like, because we need to have a good relationship with food and any, because it's fun to eat and it tastes good and we enjoy it and it's sociable. We can do it with friends. We can, you know, so I think it's really we have to be really careful that we don't slip down the path of dissecting too much, the number of calories and the energy and things we've got. If our diets, if we feel well and our diet's giving us what we need, that's great.
Yeah, and I guess it's like with each of these pillars, listening to your body intentionally, you know, understanding, having a good self-awareness of being able to interpret those pillars and the instability in them, particularly if you, you know, if you're using your wearable to help inform those and get some reliable metrics from that, then certainly for me, that's helped me understand the temperature of those triggers. You know, sometimes I might feel tired and I think, actually, why am I feeling tired? And I look at my sleep and it's been low, deep sleep for, you know, inconsistent, irregular for 3 or 4 days on the bounce. And I'm like, okay. And then I match that with, yeah, and I didn't eat my lunch till 5 o'clock that day, you know, and then I match that with a few work deadlines and my running been under pressure and trying to squeeze it in to 30 minutes instead of enjoying it for 45. And it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. And I think the important thing this is always to look at the bigger picture. Because if you just focus on one thing, you're not going to get the answers that you need or give the advice that you need to make things better. And, you know, you may feel like your running's going really well and your sleep's pretty good, but still you don't feel well. So then you've got to think, what else is going on in life? What other stresses are there? What other pressures are there? Because all of those things kind of have an additive effect on how you feel. So it's always looking for the trends and always not forget to look at the bigger picture, because sometimes the things that are bringing you down a little bit aren't things that are immediately obvious, and they take a little bit of reflecting and thinking about. But looking for those and looking for trends is with you.
So give us just to finish off, you know, give us some guidance on maybe some specifics on those trends, perhaps some indicators around, you know, the pillars that we could be looking for. So, you know, what could I be noticing in myself at the moment that I could be paying attention to help me reframe my running to get that better in the longer term?
So I think looking for changes in your sleep pattern is really important, because it isn't necessarily whether you've wound down before bed, whether you've had a milky drink, whether you've listened to some relaxing music before you go to sleep. Often it's actually what's gone on in the day that has the biggest effect on your sleep. So if your sleep pattern's off, it may be that something playing on your mind, there may be some extra stresses that are having an effect, and then that's affecting you when your brain isn't switching off during the night or you keep waking up and ruminating on things. So I think looking for changes in your sleep pattern that are coming for no obvious reason and thinking about why, because that can definitely give you a bigger picture. I think looking at your mood, looking at are you irritable? Do you feel anxious? Are you feeling just not quite yourself? Because there can be subtle changes, but actually they can be a sign that there might be other things wrong within those pillars. It could be any one of those things, because stress can be physical, it can be mental, it can be what we're eating, it can be that we're exercising too much. All of those things can have an effect on our stress levels. So I think looking for our behavior, looking for our irritability or any anxieties and in our mood to cover kind of the stress side of things. I think with the diet and with the nutrition, it's, as I say, it's often having a self-awareness, but actually just looking at your appetite, because often your appetite will dip or it will increase according to what's going on in life. Stress can push you either way. Too much or too little sleep can push you either way. So actually just looking at what your appetite is doing, is it matching how you're feeling? Has it gone up? Has it gone down? And why could that be? And I think when you can look kind of at all of those little warning signs, you can then start to dig down a little bit deeper and see what it might be that you need to adjust slightly. Because if you can adjust and get a balance, then you're good to go.
We're on the right track. Mm. And any advice for us, you know, moving into, you know, the next level of our running? You know, there's a little uncertainty at the moment about what that could look like and how we integrate that into our life in a meaningful way. Any takeaway from you, you know, with that to help us look forward?
I think about what you have done already in this time. Maybe you've been less active. Some people have been more active, and kind of use that time as a good chance to reflect on your running. What have you enjoyed? What have you done during this time, maybe that you wouldn't do normally, that you've really benefited from, and taking that forward, and whether it's doing more strength exercises because you've been able to go out less, whether you've actually done shorter, faster runs and found that you've got stronger. And what have you done at the moment which you can take forward that you can enjoy and build on? And then also just refocusing and thinking about your next goal. Who knows when we'll have races to train and prepare for, but thinking about things that actually give you a little spark of an enthusiasm and make you think, I'm going to do that. Yeah. So you've really got a nice goal to work towards, and building slowly, being realistic. Where are you at the moment? And how can you realistically and sensibly get to where you want to be without injury if you haven't been running very often? And just taking things gradually, really, because it's so tempting to just go straight back out there, isn't it?
And
just,
yeah, yeah. And especially, it will be, especially at the moment, it'll be tempting for people. And actually, you know, I think we have to keep reminding ourselves of, it's all right just to work through the next day and then, you know, carry on. We don't need to be too ambitious about the goals that we're setting ourselves. We, you know, we need to make sure that the fundamental pillars of our physical and mental health are in the best possible shape they can be at the moment.
And that we're having fun.
Absolutely. Juliet, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.